I think it's a hassle because most of the time, or a lot of the time, men and women act artificially, whether from a fear of being open or from some social more which dictates that you act in a certain way. And so that, you know, you play the impression games and the circuitous route in communicating.
Hello, do you think that men and women have problems relating to each other in a dating situation?
I'd say probably the dating situation is one of the worst situations in which two people could try to relate.
Why do you say that?
I think it's a situation that has too many little repercussions involved in it, too many expectations. It's kind of on the pretense of being more formal when actually you don't want to be, chances are. When you are formal, it's for particular reasons which aren't particularly good. I guess, you know, I don't feel at my most comfortable state when I'm on, quote, a date.
Well, one of the complaints that I've had from people is that when you go to a dance or someplace specifically to meet someone, you see someone that you might like to talk to, and you go up to that person, and what do you have to say other than, hi, what's your major?
Well, that's why it's a good opener, I think, because I've majored in so many different things, that can get a discussion going that will last all night, probably. I don't know, you know, if you want to meet people, and you do come in contact with people of the opposite sex, that it's going to be easier in more indirect ways rather than the direct ways. You know, just conversation. You know, if you see someone periodically, like if your paths cross, which happens a lot in this kind of setup, you know, you figure out if the person has time to talk and talk to them.
Do you think that very many men feel threatened by a woman who makes the initial contact in a relationship, such as she's the first one to call him, or she asks him out, or that kind of aggressive behavior?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know most men. You know, it's hard to say.
How do you feel about it?
Personally, I like it. There's a remarkably lazy chicken streak running through me that likes having the other person, you know, take the initiative, and then I can kind of, you know.
A lot of women feel that if they take the initial step, make the initial contact, then the man involved would feel that she's easy, or that she's chasing him, or that she's
nasty. That's too old, I think. Or it doesn't apply to this college situation that I've been in, you know, for 6 years. You know, it's just, I think those, you know, easy and all that kind of thing is something, it's left over from maybe high school, what your mother said, if you called a guy, you know, maybe that's what mothers said to the girls, I don't know, you know. But I think that's kind of gone. You know, I think if a guy would probably be more put off just by the fact that he was now in a new role, an unfamiliar role, rather than thinking,
do you feel comfortable having a woman pay her own way?
Well, sure. I guess I like to see it kind of go back and forth, you know. I don't feel comfortable paying a woman's way, primarily because I'm so poor. That's one of the prerequisites I guess I have to place on my relationships with other people, is that they're going to have to be able to pay it for at least their end of it. And maybe you could also have some kind of agreement that there's kind of an eventual reciprocity going, you know, you pay for this and I'll pay for the next thing, you know, if we see each other, you know, next time, you know what?
What? Do you feel comfortable initiating contact with a man, such as calling him first or asking him out?
Oh, no, not really. It depends, like, if I don't know, if I didn't know him at all, I wouldn't. But, like, if I was dating someone, then I wouldn't hesitate, you know, like if something came up. Well, unless it was specifically that kind of date lined up.
Do you expect the man to always pay for both of you on a date?
No, I don't think that's always good. I think it should be. Well, it really depends, but, like, especially if you're dating one person for a while, I think, you know, you could, like, take turns or something. I think between the two you could agree on something, because it gets really expensive just for one person, I think.
Thank you very much. I'd like to know if you think that there are very many hassles in dating.
I don't think so. I think people get along, you know, once in a while. If you get like some people are not compatible, you know, but I think people usually get along pretty well unless they're really, you know, strange or something.
Do you think that men feel uncomfortable when women call them up and ask them out?
Yeah. I think it definitely.
Why?
Well, I just know that from personal experience, I don't like aggressive women. You know, there's just something about an aggressive woman that kind of turns me off. You know?
Do you feel uncomfortable if a woman suggests that she go her own way to a movie?
No. If she wants to do it, I'd feel better about it, you know, if she'd let me. But if she wants to do it, you know, let her have her own way.
How would you respond if a girl saw you and went over and talked to you, wanted to get to know you? Would you consider this very aggressive behavior?
No, I just think that was friendly. Oh. I consider that as friendliness.
Well, what if she then called you up later and asked you to go out for a Coke or something?
That might be a little more aggressive.
Why?
Well, it's a little bit hard to explain.
Do you think that most men feel that it's threatening to them to have a girl call them up?
Yeah.
Or do they feel complimented by this?
I don't think they feel threatened, because, like, it's supposed to be, I think it's supposed to be more or less if they want to call the girl, you know. I think I'm just super old-fashioned or something, you know.
Involved in the dating patterns of men and women today?
Well, I'd say there is, because people, at least in my area that I associate with, don't really go out and date. They just more or less get together and go out and do something, not really per se date. The word date is kind of old-fashioned to me. I prefer not to call it that myself.
Do you feel threatened if a girl calls you up and asks you to go somewhere?
Certainly not, no.
Do you feel threatened if she offers to pay her own way?
I feel a little bit impinged myself. I don't like the... I guess I'm kind of a person with chauvinist, I guess you could say, but I like to pay for both if I call her up or something like that. But if she calls me up and says, let's go somewhere, well, it's kind of touch and go. Whatever she feels she wants to do, let her do it, you know.
Do you understand what goes behind a woman's decision to pay her own way?
I don't understand it at all. It's all right with me if she wants to. It's fine.
Do you think that there are any problems involved in the way men and women relate to each other in a dating situation?
Yeah, I think there are, just because everybody's really on edge and, like, you know, what's your opening line and, you know, how do you kiss her at the door and, you know, just junk like that, general tension.
Do you think that most women would like to be more aggressive than they are, but feel that they will be rejected if they call a guy up, or if they offer to pay their own way? Or,
well, I guess some guys might take it as, you know, she's chasing him, or she's being too pushy or something. I don't think, you know, if it's some guy I knew as a friend, I'd call him up, but with some guy I wanted to go out with, I wouldn't call him first.
Why?
Just because I just, you know, I don't like to throw myself on someone. If he wants to ask me out, fine, you know. But
you don't consider that he's throwing himself on you?
No, I guess, you know, because I'm not a, you know, women's lib type person. You know, I just wait for the guy to call. I mean,
but there was some issues raised here that I think are really worth talking about. One of the things that struck me was the very last thing that was said. The girl didn't want, it was okay for her to call up a guy if he was just a friend. But if she had any romantic interest in him, or if he was a date, then she couldn't call him up. And that seems to really be where it's at. And I think that's really unfortunate. Does anybody want to make any comment about that? Why is that? What do you feel?
Well, the whole dating situation is a double standard, though, because there was also the guy who thought that the girl could call him up, but she couldn't offer to pay for the date. And then there was the guy who thought that the girl could pay for the date, but she couldn't call him up. And it's just so ambiguous. There are no really set norms.
I think that in a way the problem is that, not necessarily that there are no set norms, but that the norms are so strict. I think I can understand why that girl would have trouble calling up someone for a date, yet she could call up just a friend, as we say, mm-hmm. and all this, but it would be very hard for her to call someone up for a date, because although I think she was one that said, I'm not a woman's liberation person or something like that, she may, or any woman, may have in their head, say very well, now referred to liberal ideas or ideas that are very closely identified with the movement, we still have, say, 18, 19, 20 years being brought up in a completely, you know, different way. So our mind may be okay in one way, but let's say our emotions or our psychology is still oriented to a society where you let the man take the more aggressive role. You let the man call you up and take you out and open your door and this and that.
And you're worried about what the man's going to think about you if you do call him
up. Sure.
Well, it was so funny that she said that she felt that for her to call him up, she would be throwing herself at him. And I asked her if he was throwing himself at her by calling her up, and she said no.
Well, Molly, I think that's part of the way we look at things. You know, one just doesn't assume that if a guy is calling a girl up that he's throwing himself at her, at the girl. But because that's been done so long, and yet in a way, he's very obviously is. He does want to get her attention. He does want to have some kind of, or he thinks he wants to have some kind of relationship with her. Or, you know, this, he is in a way throwing himself. But we don't look at it like that. Whereas if a woman admits that, say, she likes someone or thinks she might like someone, that would be, you know, just throwing herself in her path, and at this point we can't have that. Or most of us don't think we can have that.
Mark, how do you, as a male on the panel, how do you feel about women who are termed aggressive for being more overt in their behavior to men rather than coyly trying to let him know that she would like him to ask her out?
Well, it's like picking up on what we've been saying. There's a whole lot of cultural baggage that we have from high school and from what, you know, kind of just the way we've been brought up. And so when, you know, it's okay for a guy to call up a girl, and it's not okay for a girl to call up a guy, it's a whole idea of, you know, just being scared, you know, being rejected, mm-hmm. you know, and it works both ways, you know, because guys, you know, we're talking about just very initial kind of dating,
mm-hmm.
you know, just meeting somebody and saying the right things. And, you know, so how do you get to know people? You know, it's got to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that's kind of the situation.
But is the woman really? I mean, how is she looked upon?
Is the woman aggressive?
Yeah, I mean, is she looked upon rather disdainfully if she is.
I don't think disdainfully. I think she's looked on as being aggressive.
The only time in high school that that was accepted was when there was a pep club party and that the girls were supposed to be able to invite the boys, or it was a women pay all. And even then, you know, girls would just go through a panicky week, you know, trying to and then they usually chicken out in the end, and then they really felt like they could empathize with men, you know, for the first time. But.
Well, Buzz, how do you think that, how do you feel if a girl calls you up and asks you to do something, someone that you don't know very well?
Well, it really hasn't happened to me a whole lot. In the cases where girls have called me up, it's usually been someone that I've known fairly well. And it's really a relaxed situation. There's no hang-ups on the traditional idea of, well, who should call who, because we see each other, say, in class, or we see each other on the street, and we talk the same way there as we do over the phone. But if someone were to call me up that had seen me in class for the first time, someone that I didn't know, quite frankly, my initial reaction to that would be, well, who is this? You know, then I would start to think, well, I would try to place the person. I try to place the voice and the face together. As far as being aggressive, I don't think that would really enter into it.
I think that goes back. Time. That goes back to the whole dating situation in the first place. Just seeing someone in class and saying, aha, just by their looks or by the one word you heard them speak, like hi or something, you want to go out with them. And then I know that I don't feel real comfortable calling up a guy, and I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable calling up a guy that I'd seen just one time in class and said hello to him. I think that's the question behind it, because if a guy calls me up and I've only seen him once, I'm not likely to go out with him either.
I think a lot of the social mores tend to think, you know, like for a guy especially, a girl calls him up, you know, that he doesn't know very well, he's immediately going to be thinking, what's coming off here? And those are the kind of things that we're dealing with. And he just can't think of it just as a friendship, or she just really wanted to get to know him. And, you know, I had an experience kind of like happen to me. And just, I met a girl, and she sort of just said, why don't you come over and have a cup of coffee? And I was a little threatened. What's coming up?
I think that, you know, you were talking about after a while you get to know someone a little bit better, and then it's not as threatening. But it's interesting, I think even in a relationship that has gone on for a while, there still is a hesitancy sometimes on the part of a woman to call him up, but that breaks down. But it's such a slow process, you know?
I knew one woman who, I think, counted the times that she had called this guy, and she'd been dating him for a year and a half. She says, I just don't like it, you know? And I thought, they've been dating so long, yet she was still afraid to call, and seems kind of too bad.
Well, how do you girls think about, you know, would you call up somebody and ask them out for a date yourself?
I feel very insecure doing it. I don't know. If I did it, it would just be to prove something.
Would it be
myself,
because of the role, you know, that it's not your role to do it, or would it be, you know, feeling rejected and not want to get turned down?
No, I think it would be more in the fact of, you know, you said you felt threatened by it. And I would think, you know, what would he think my motives were in calling him up? He might not understand them, and I might not be able to get them across. I guess that would be.
And I think the thing about, for the most part, in a dating situation, you never get those things out in the open.
Right.
You know, you don't talk about those kind of things, which is, you know, really.
That hits on something that is, I don't know, talking about a first date or the initial date. To me, the worst thing in the world is small talk. I mean, I guess because I can't really do it.
Don't like the weather, huh?
Yeah. Well, just like we were talking about before, what is your major? You know, the whole kind of the sorority Greek thing where you meet them for the first time and they're coming through and you ask, what year are you? What's your major? That same kind of level of conversation goes on a first date, and you don't really get to know the person. It's ridiculous.
Sometimes it continues on and on, though, and you never can cut past that, because it started off in that initial first dating bit, and it's kind of continued in that role stuff, and so you can't really.
You know, I really think that it boils down to how open a person is naturally.
Right.
I think that, well, in my own case, I have more girlfriends now than I ever had before, and there's no connotation, you know, that we're going to go to bed with each other, or that eventually we're going to get married or something like that. And what we do is we sit down and we talk about each other, and how we feel about things, and how we really feel about things, and things that are a little more meaningful than...
Yeah, there's so many games you end up playing.
Yeah.
And those are the most rewarding and lasting relationships anyway. It seems like most of the dating relationships I've been in, or else the first dates, I just was so glad when I was home, you know, and I just didn't enjoy it at all. And I think maybe a lot of people have a really negative connotation about dating anyway, so...
But I think that sometimes those very stylized sort of things we go through are in some ways very helpful to some people. You know, I know which side of the sidewalk to walk on, I know which fork to pick up, and, you know, and I think that some of this small talk is useful, so at least you find out, well, you know, what, you know, you get a good look at him, or he gets a good look at you, and I think that if some of this little stuff is taken care of, and then you can just sort of move on to other things.
I don't think it has to be that way. I think you can be open with a person, find out what they're like before you decide, you know, oh, I'm going to call them up and ask them for a date or something, and then have that total uncomfortable situation of getting ready and seeing him at the door and I don't know.
I think there are a lot of guys around that are just really tired of that whole hassle of meeting girls and, you know, thinking of the lines and, you know, calling them up, and just don't want to go through all that to get to a meaningful relationship. You know, they just want to... just have friends.
That's why they would welcome, a lot of my friends of the same light would welcome a girl calling. Because if for no other reason, just like the one guy that was interviewed on the tape earlier said that, you know, he's a chicken, or that he doesn't, you know, that it's more comfortable for him because it puts the initiative and the shoe on the other foot, so to speak. And that's pretty comfortable when the other person has to come up with the lines and the answers and everything else, and you're just sort of responding.
I think if I called a guy up, I'd feel more comfortable just inviting him to a group situation or a really informal thing rather than calling up and say, hey, let's go to a movie tonight. I'll pick you up at 7:30, walk you to the door and everything. And I feel really uncomfortable doing that.
And if you do call up a guy, you know, then what happens? Are you playing the quote male role, yes, or do you go ahead and then, look, that's a problem. Does he pay or do you pay, or do you go Dutch? And then, like, does it change or not? I mean, that I guess you just find out when you went out or something.
One of the things, Buzz, that you mentioned was that talking about a meaningful relationship, or maybe it was Mark, you know, a better way of going about getting this meaningful relationship. And I think that one of the fears that women have is that men really are not for a meaningful relationship. And, you know, that's why a lot of these defenses are built up.
But that's the thing. When you get to know them first, you can tell whether they're out for a meaningful relationship or just out for... whatever.
Well, when a girl calls up a guy, though, is she out for a meaningful relationship?
Yes. Right. I think that another problem for women is that a lot of times I think women are more or less brought up to be somewhat aloof. To you know, it's more graceful to pretend like you don't really care. You know, and that, you know, this whole feminine mystique thing. You know, we have to pay attention to that. And just as you were saying, a lot of men would prefer to get rid of the idea that they have to come up with all the lines and everything. A lot of women would like to admit that, yes, they do like to go out. Indeed, they do like men and, you know, this sort of thing. So I think that there's that problem, too, that we have been forced into a situation of aloofness and reserve. Many women, not all.
You know, I keep a lot of times, when you're in college for any length of time, everyone has gone through, it seems like, at least one quote-unquote deep relationship, and the old phrase of getting burnt or you know, whatever comes up, and I tend to think it's a cop-out, first of all, but I think that would be one of the reasons for the arrogance, for the aloofness, mm-hmm, because you don't want to get hurt again is the idea. And if you stand back, you know, and if you hold somebody off at a distance, it's a lot more safe to do that than it is to let yourself be known and try to get close to the person. And I think that has a definite bearing.
Yeah, I think it also, though, has a bearing in just the sexual nature of dating. You know, it is in the end, I think that's the way most people view it. It's not a relationship between two people. It is a relationship between a female person and a male person. And that is so steeped in sexuality with us. You know.
It's funny, I was thinking earlier about something that happened not too long ago to me, but I recently, well, I've done this several times, talked for 4 or 5 hours at a time with one person, female, and on telling a friend about it, a guy, I said, you mean you talk for 4 or 5 hours with a girl? You know, this is like some amazing thing. You didn't do anything? And I said, no, we did a lot, but it was all verbal, you know. I know that's tied in with the same connotations of talking or getting to know a person.
Okay, I think we're going to have to break now for a minute, but we'll be back after the station break with the Feminist Perspective.
As you know, this year KENU is again bringing you the Saturday afternoon broadcasts of the Metropolitan Opera. Someone recently wrote the Metropolitan Opera that the intermissions seemed almost as important as the opera itself. Prepared and produced by Geraldine Souvain for the past 32 seasons, the intermission programs of the weekly opera broadcasts are indeed important segments of the actual opera performance. A special feature is the first intermission, Opera News on the Air. This is designed to interest and stimulate the musically uninformed as well as the true opera lover. Famous names from opera and other areas of the music world are usually on hand to clarify many aspects of the opera with instrumental and vocal illustrations. Texaco's opera quiz during the second intermission has had a vast following since it first went on the air in 1940. It is a lively program that always draws tremendous listener response. Quizmaster Edward Downs, one of America's best-known musicologists, will be back again this season to pose listeners' questions to the panels of opera experts. He's been at this post since 1959. Incidentally, questions from the radio audience should be submitted to Texaco's Opera Quiz, 135 East 42nd Street, New York, New York, zip code 10017. To anyone whose question is used on the air, an opera lover's gift package will be sent, including 4 just-released opera albums and a transistor AM-FM table model stereo radio. Other intermissions are devoted to the singer's roundtable, where many of the top artists answer listeners' questions, discuss their careers, give a closer behind-the-scenes look at what goes on during an opera performance, and juicy stories about themselves and their colleagues the world over. So when veteran announcer Milton Cross tells the radio audience, it is intermission time here once again at the Metropolitan Opera, listeners can be sure they will hear informative, lively, controversial, often hilarious anecdotes, opinions, comments about opera, just about everything one wants to know about opera, to enhance their enjoyment of this most theatrical of all the arts. And you'll hear it all right here on KNU Lawrence Public Radio from the University of Kansas.
You're listening to A Feminist Perspective from the Public Radio Service of the University of Kansas, KNU Lawrence. Here again is Molly Laughlin.
One of the things that I want to talk about this evening is how dating is changing and how people just cringe at the term date and at the term boyfriend. And no one seems to have come up with any kind of way of describing what's going on in the interaction between men and women these days, and they feel so uncomfortable with a situation that they feel is outmoded and they cannot deal with. And I'd like to ask the panel members how they feel that the dating situation is changing and what kind of alternatives there are coming to the front.
One of the big things, or one of the biggest changes that I've seen, is that rather than the structured date, there's more of a getting together idea, where you know, a cup of coffee and a conversation is a good way to initially get to know a person. Whereas it used to be that on Monday night at 6 o'clock or 6:30 after supper was over, you know, because everybody'd be there, you'd call on the phone and say, hey, my name is so-and-so, you remember me? Well, I'd like to go out with you this Saturday. We can really get to know each other. Let's go dancing or go to a movie. Yeah. And to me, you know, you're not going to get to know anybody by going dancing or going to a movie. The easiest way is to talk and to, you know, kind of share ideas.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but the one good thing about going to a movie with somebody is at least you've spent some time with that person, and for some reason you feel more comfortable to at least start something from there. And a lot of people feel like they just can't delve into anything really serious or of any kind of depth at all if they just have met the person for some reason 4 hours or 2.5 hours in a movie. At least gives them a starting point of what to talk about beyond what's your major, you know, like, boy, that was a good movie,
a lousy movie.
Yeah, you know. And when you have a situation like where so many people are feeling so isolated from members of the opposite sex, then just and really want to get together, what is there? You know what I mean?
I think that sometimes, Molly, what's happening is a lot of people are going to parties or groups of people are meeting at a house, and you know, a lot of people think that's a good a lot of people think that's a good thing. But I sometimes wonder if that means that we are becoming even more paranoid about sitting alone with one other person, you know, just over a cup of coffee. You know,
I think that's a good thing, though, because there's so much of the whole dating game thing has, you know, starts even in junior high school, being with somebody and you're just with one person. And, you know, you kind of feel limited to that person and you can't be with other people. And I like the idea of having some different kind of alternatives to dating. Like in Europe, it's very common just for guys to go to places, you know, like a bar, and girls to go to bars and just meet there and get to know each other and talk. And it's kind of there's a real old etiquette, you know, that used to operate at the old square dances and things, and saying, "May I accompany you home?" And it's just that kind of an atmosphere. In which you just meet and you get to know someone, and you say, you know, "Would you like to go out for coffee? You know, would you like to come home or something like that?"
Mark, what I'd like to ask you is, what kind of connotation is it now going to a college bar, and you see a girl sitting by herself at the bar, or two girls sitting together? What generally do you think a guy thinks about when he walks in and sees this?
I think it depends on the guy. They usually figure that a girl's at a bar to meet people. And, you know,
one time they just went to a bar, you know, they wanted to drink or whatever, and they were just sitting there talking to each other, and these two guys come up and sit down next to them and kept, you know, and they... Yeah. All they thought was that these girls were there to be picked up or something.
That's annoying too.
And they were really... you know, angry at this, and like they said, we were there because we wanted to be, and you know, they were mad, and I don't know, I don't think one or two girls can go to a bar without having someone maybe think that they want to be picked up.
That's an annoying factor, because, you know, it is nice to walk into a bar and sit down and have a drink, you know, if you've been shopping all day or something silly like that, and that's a nice thing, but I wouldn't go into a bar by myself. And it would take a whole group of us to go in.
Even with a group, though, I've had...
Yeah, it really has put a limit on the kind of activities that women can do at night, which is unfortunate, because, you know, not all of us are finding mates and all this, and yet most of us still like to do things. But you don't do them at night.
I'd like to invite the listening audience to call in any questions they might have that the panel could answer or try to answer. Unfortunately, there's a person calling in cannot ask their question over the radio as they usually can. There's some technical problem, but the question will be read over the air by the either myself or the engineer. One of the things that I think that we might talk about is. We seem to be rather dissatisfied with what's going on, and you know, how we interact with people and how we're seen. And I'd like to hear from the panel what they think they can do to change it.
I'd like to just offer the alternative again of group meetings, because Mary, you said that you were kind of hesitant to think that maybe people were afraid to sit over a cup of coffee, just one-to-one. But I think that's one of the bad things about dating, is that it's like you go out with a guy and you're expected, you kind of find all the things you have in common and all the things you don't have in common, just to see whether you are compatible or something. And I think in a group meeting you can go through all that without, you don't have to go through all that. You can find other alternatives, just getting to know them and then finding out whether you'd like to be with them again, and then sit over the cup of coffee.
Well, I can see that happening, and then so often I hear the radio playing so loud or the record player playing so loud, I can't hear a word they're saying, and there's so many people talking I can't hear. And I think often group parties is where the really lights
cocktail language is employed, you know, and mm-hmm. Only, for instance, if the whole group would get into some one particular issue. But that's not really
anything. You're not really talking about group parties, though, are you, Kate?
No, I'm talking more about just group people.
Yeah, it's just like getting together.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily, I don't find that people don't talk or don't communicate at group meetings. I find that you don't have a whole group, like you said, a group talking about one subject, but there are little fractions all over. Factions.
How would you go about setting up a group meeting? I mean, would it be, what I picture in my mind is like 10 people and all on their first date type thing, and they're going to sit around and get to know each other. I'm just curious.
I don't know. I think that would be very uncomfortable, too. Yeah. I guess, I don't know what the solution is, because it would be uncomfortable to have all of my friends and then a guy that I was interested in getting to know. That would be uncomfortable for him. It would be uncomfortable mm-hmm. for me. I don't really know.
Play Monopoly.
Yeah. You know, if you got, say, 10 people, you know, just 10 various people, non-dates together. But I think still, sooner or later, let's say this group met a couple times, but sooner or later, one couple is going to decide that they would like to get to know each other a little bit better. And sooner or later, they're going to have to face the situation of meeting without the group. I think in some ways
that
could be more.
But after you've met with the group, I don't think that would be harrowing at all. I think you'd have all those common experiences. It wouldn't be this, let's find out what we have in common. Let's find out if you like each other by talking. It's like you already know you like each other. Or you care something about the other person. You want to get to know them
better. One thing that would be really nice is when we all get ourselves liberated enough, you know, from the whole sexual bag, sexual thing, mm-hmm. you know, so that you can just meet people openly and honestly, you know, just mm-hmm. as people, without thinking of, you know, thinking of the woman or the man as a sex object.
Oh boy, that's really hit it on the head. That really, you know, it's. I think we've kind of talked around that a lot.
Talked to a guy a couple of nights ago, and he was saying, you know, that it was. He was down on both men and women right now. He says because, like, he'll come back from wherever he's been, and the guys will come in on the floor, and this is a freshman dorm I'm talking about, and they say, boy, I had a real good chick. You ought to try to take her out, you know, like talking about them as a conquest or something. And he says, yet at the same time, he hears things from other girls like, well, I wouldn't go out with a guy twice that I didn't think I had a chance of marrying, you know? And it seems like everybody, and he said he'd actually heard that. So it seems like there's a lot of motivations in dating that are really sick and are sad or whatever. And it's just, I don't know, maybe that's just when you're younger or something. I don't know.
It's a shame that people just can't be, you know, be themselves. And just like, you know, we're sitting here now talking. You know, there's no sexual overtones involved. We're just talking about different topics and things. Yeah, about sex. Right? but I mean, just being able to sit down and talk and not feel in any way obligated to make overtures towards another person or to make a date. As a consequence of talking.
But here we are sitting around saying, wow, it's really a shame. But how do we change it? Well, what do you do?
Like, Mary, you and Kat were talking about how, you know, the first date is such a painful thing and that there must be some way that we can get around that. And I don't know, like, how do you do it? The one thing you can do is, like we were talking about, common. Well, like you have someone in the class and you see him over and over again and you kind of get to know each other so that by the time the first date comes, it isn't too bad. But I don't know how to get away from that.
I sometimes wonder if it's all that bad a thing. I'll admit, with some people, it's been a bad thing for me, but I haven't been that upset with first dates that I've gone out on.
Are these first dates, though, when people have just seen you and they call you up and you don't really know?
Yeah, I went to a girls' school at high school. And so when I went out first date, it was, you know, very, very distant kind of situation. And, you know, that partly could be me, but
isn't it mostly also your indoctrination that that's the way it is, that I just have to accept this and make the best of it instead of offering an alternate suggestion, maybe?
Well, yeah, I suppose that's part of it, but then I guess I never saw it as all that evil a thing.
We have a question here I want to get to. What age level are participants, and have your attitudes changed about dating as you have gotten older?
Little assumption.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm 23.
18.
I'm 22.
18.
22.
23.
yes, my attitudes have changed drastically as I've gotten older. I don't know whether it's because I've gotten older or because I've just started thinking about it more.
Yeah, I don't think my attitudes have changed drastically. I know that I did have to go through all that first date thing, and then my attitudes did change. So maybe they have changed.
Well, one thing that has changed, and you're talking about how we change things, and it's my whole being, you know, just capability of being honest about my expectations has changed a lot, you know, just as I've gotten older. But I think that's where you can really begin to change the whole dating pattern and the way we go about meeting people. It's just in terms of being honest and getting out and, you know, talking about your motivations and your expectations of what the relationship ought to be. And if you can get those kind of things settled, you have a lot easier time of getting to know someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like saying, well, are you looking for a husband? I'm not looking for a wife.
I know in my own case, I've changed a lot because the first thing I had to overcome was the male chauvinistic viewpoint of looking at the woman as something other than a sex object. And when I was in high school, that's the only way that I could relate to a woman. As I've gotten older, I don't know, I suppose I've gotten wiser along the way. Women are really people, and just like men. And when I finally realized that, I mean, it really sounds simple. It really sounds almost stupid to say, make a comment like that. But I also realized for the first time that women are just as smart as I am. And when I realized that, I think then I began to realize that there was something in another person besides just their physical being that I wanted to find out about, and it's a long process, and it's a growing one, I guess, and it's going to keep on growing.
I went to the girls' school, and so boys, high school boys, were sort of Saturday night things, you know. And I'll admit.
things.
That's what they were, and I think high school was so much fun. I enjoyed it so much, but. When I did come to here to a co-ed college, you did get a different, I had much more respect for men. All of a sudden they could talk about something other than basketball and cars. You know, since I went to girls' school, it was something I couldn't talk about, so they probably thought I was dumb. But a much more human attitude. And I think some of it is I can figure out much more quickly if I'm going to like someone enough to want.
Mm-hmm.
An extended relationship, not necessarily a deep one, but one that would bother me around him some more.
We have a comment from a woman caller. She says, it's harder for a woman to call a man and ask him out because traditionally the man calls the woman, and she figures that if he were interested, he would call her. So the rejection is likely to be harder for a woman. And I think that's pretty,
probably true, yeah.
Yeah.
She feels rejection. You know,
if he hasn't already
called.
Yeah, no, I think a woman ought to be able to handle that kind of rejection, though. You know, if she calls up somebody and he says, well, you know, I've got another friend that I'm seeing, or I'm sorry. You know, I really wasn't impressed with you that much. You know, this is it seems to be in the bag that the woman isn't liberated. Because, you know, rejection happens to, you know, in all sorts of our lives.
Yeah, but what she's saying is that...
You can't be afraid of that, especially on a first date.
Yeah, I think, though, what she's saying is true, though, that by the very fact that he didn't call, well, then you just assume, oh, well, he's not too terribly interested in me, so I'm not going to bother him.
You can't really assume that, I don't think.
But that's what women do.
Women do assume.
Do you think they should?
Me too. No, they shouldn't.
No.
Because there could be a lot of reasons why you wouldn't call somebody up. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have a phone, or you're busy, you got to study.
This goes back to what Heather was talking about, but I know a lot of people that judge the amount of interest another person has in them by the number of phone calls they get from them. And, like, I know in one particular case that if a girl has called a guy, say, 3 times in a week or so, and the guy has not reciprocated by calling her, then she feels like she is chasing him, and that... that he has no interest at all.
Doesn't a guy feel that way too, though?
If
if a guy is...
I don't think so, because I think it goes back to the traditional thing of a guy supposed to be calling a girl.
Okay, I'm asking more like in terms of maybe if a guy has called me 3 times and I've rejected him 3 times.
Just talk to him.
No, well, I was thinking more in terms of a question, more in terms
of... Like, if you want to go out Saturday night, you say no three different times.
No, yeah. It would be nice if you could just say, no, I don't want to. I don't want to go out with you.
You know, one thing I was talking about with a friend of mine was that sometimes people feel very obligated, like they really have to go out. And I think one thing that women should do and men, too, is that... treat yourself kindly. I mean, if you want to do something, do it. But if you don't want to, don't subject yourself to something that you won't want to do. And people don't give themselves alternatives. They think, well, this person's called me twice, and I've said no twice. It's about time, you know. Otherwise, they're going to think I'm really mean or something, you know. And you end up doing something you don't want to do, and that's too bad.
We have another question. From a woman who is, I guess it's a woman, I don't know, who's asking about the difference between dating type of relationship and friend type of relationship. It says, if a dating relationship has evolved into a deeper relationship and then one of them backs out, can they still remain friends, or is this a phony attitude?
Mm-hmm. I think it's easier to be friends with someone if they say they've had a deeper relationship. I think it should be possible to remain friends, to just realize.
Not necessarily.
I don't think
sometimes it's so hard.
You have so much history involved
yeah.
that you just, you know, you have real trouble being friends.
I think it depends mainly on the individuals, but I think
it depends on how it ended.
Yeah, that's the other point.
Ideally, you ought to be able to just remain friends.
But if you had a deeper relationship, it shouldn't end some way that one person would feel burned. It should be feel like it's, you know, it's,
but
I feel finished about this whole situation, and so does she or so does he.
Well,
maybe not friends in the sense that, you know, well, we can still see each other a lot, because I realize that would be hard, but just not enemies or kind of avoiding them or something, because that would seem more phony
that,
than...
If you define that kind of friendship as just kind of a mutual acceptance, you're okay.
Yeah.
If you define it as friendships of being really true, intimate kind of friends,
just,
I don't think that can work.
I think a lot of it depends on how the relationship developed from the beginning. Like, if you originally, after just a few, not actually getting to know the person, but just kind of jumped in the bed with the person, I think that would make it pretty rough just to be friends afterwards. But if you started out at sort of a platonic level and just talked with the person and talked and got to know the person and then developed deep relationship, I think that it would be possible to be friends afterwards.
Are you talking about friends or...
Well, mutual acceptance, I guess.
Mutual acceptance.
And being able to talk with one another for more than 5 minutes.
I don't know. Well, I've been in the situation where I've been in a very deep relationship and he broke it off.
you still want to be friends and
no,
you can't.
No. No, it's really strange. For some reason, in this particular instance, we are still good friends. And I think that it has to do a lot with how the relationship ended. I've seen other relationships where they didn't just end when they should have ended.
Yeah.
You know, they drug on, and there was a lot of hurt involved, and people just kept hurting, and you know, one person didn't just have enough nerve to say, well, we just can't do this anymore. I just don't feel this way anymore, or something like that. And if there's a real history of just lots of hurt involved, no matter what your mind says, well, I still care about this person, and I, you know, or whatever, I'd like to be friends, your emotions just say, ah, hurt, I just can't
right.
take it. And maybe after a few years you could take it.
Yeah,
better.
I think that's maybe eventually. I don't think there are too many people, after having a really deep relationship, could just, you know, pick them up and take them to school the next day. I think that there would be a period just naturally of avoiding them. After a while, you could come to acceptance and then maybe into something a little more realistic.
We have some more questions. Assuming that the idea of dating is bad, how would you as parents instill a different attitude for male-female relationships in your children?
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, I think maybe just a more casual attitude towards... you know, towards the other sex. Well, you don't just force your kids to want to date, I guess, or
my
mother.
Well,
My mother called me up the other night, and she said, are you dating? And I said, no, Mother, I really haven't been dating. She said, oh, you, Kat, you really have to start dating.
No, Mom, I don't.
Well, there's a... I think the assumption in that question is that the parents have to act as the protectors of the children. And I'm really leery of that, because I think parents need to kind of get away from that kind of a bag. I mean, it's really hard, you know, to not want to protect your child, and, you know, because you want good things to happen for them and everything. But you've got to be a little bit more open to letting the child discover himself or herself and, you know, experience their own life and independence and growth. And you can't do that by trying to structure a safe relationship for them to be in.
Well, yeah, but I remember talking to my little sister when she was first getting into this, and she was asking me all kinds of questions about dating and, you know, should I do this or should I do that and everything. And I remember telling her that the most important thing was to treat that person as a friend. And, you know, and not hurt that person, or, you know, the same way you would treat, you know, someone that you care about in a friend relationship. And it really has stayed with her, and she, you know, has really been grateful, I think, for this, just someone not putting the kind of pressure on her that my mother tried to put on her.
I think one of the things that parents could do, and this goes back to my own childhood, is allow their children to accept adults as equals. In the sense that if they can learn to accept adults, older people, on the same level that they accept themselves and people their own age, then it'll be easier for them in the socialization process to go out later on and just accept anybody at any age level.
We have another question. Do both men and women expect a goodnight kiss on the first date?
Expect?
Yes.
I know I don't expect a goodnight kiss on the first date, and usually I'm very leery about the whole situation, because I'm not really sure if they are expecting a goodnight kiss on the first date. And when I find out sometimes that they aren't expecting a goodnight kiss on the first date,
you're relieved.
Then, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I just want to kiss them.
I think it's so individual, you know, and it varies for each person with each person that go out, you know. Sometimes I will accept a first night kiss, and sometimes I'll jump back. And
sometimes I'll give it.
Not very often. But I don't know if anybody expects, or a lot of people hope for, maybe.
But there's a whole question about some girls think that, all right, the guy's gone out and he spent a lot of money on me. This is a whole dating situation. And, you know, I deserve... or he deserves a good night kiss for all the money he spent on me.
Yeah.
I've heard people's reactions this way.
Buying a good night kiss.
Yeah.
I think we're talking really now, just in terms of the way the sexual mores are, you know, just in college and around the country, is that we're talking about a lot more than a good night kiss on the first date.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the expectations go well beyond that in terms of, you know, relationships and interaction you have with a person. You know, whether or not you're going to sleep with the person on the first date, you know, which is an interesting kind of question, how you get to know people and stuff.
Well, I think in my own way in handling a date is just whatever seems to be natural at the time.
Right.
Because if you, you know, pre-plan a date and pre-plan what's going to happen, you're going to run into a lot of problems, the stiffness and the whole bit. But if for instance, if you went to the door taking your date home, and she invited you in, and things develop from there one way or the other, well, if that's natural, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if both of you have had a nice date or a nice evening, and you go to the door and you both are standing there looking at each other, what's going to come up next? Well, to me, the most logical thing is to say, well, good night, and I'll see you later, and leave.
Yeah.
A good night kiss is, to me, is just, I don't know, it's just
not
exactly
worth the
like
hassle.
A right. It's just it's like a handshake. It really is.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of men that I've talked to feel like they, that if they don't at least try, then the women will think that there's something wrong with them, or that, you know, that they're not.
I've heard men say that, but I just have never met a woman that thinks that. You know? And I've often wondered if that's rationalization on the part of some men. I've never met a woman that thinks, well, if he doesn't try. I'll admit, after 3 or 4 dates, if he doesn't try anything.
Try anything, that's kind of a...
There's a good thing, you know, something to be said for an icebreaker. And that, you know, a good night kiss is, you know, it's kind of an icebreaker in that sense. You know, you find out just how a person, you know, reacts to you, if, you know, physically. There's a lot more going on than just a good night kiss. Because if you're both open to each other and you're wanting to be closer, that's a way of expressing it. And it's more than a handshake in a lot of ways, although a handshake, you know, about as satisfying.
I was going to say that in the situation that I was outlining, that the handshake was just about the same thing. But actually, I think, at least in my own experience, unless the environment demands otherwise, I think before you get to the door, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's all for tonight. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to A Feminist Perspective, and I'd like to ask everyone to tune in next Monday night at 7 o'clock. And once again, we will present A Feminist Perspective.
A Feminist Perspective is presented in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of Women at the University of Kansas. It's 8 o'clock, time for news headlines.
Good evening. It's 19 degrees in Topeka, 21 degrees in Kansas City, and 20 degrees here at Broadcasting Hall. This is Bob Labonte reporting KENU Lawrence Hourly Headlines. Kansas Representative Roger Turner says he has pre-filed...